On Sunday mornings, we're walking through a series on 1 Timothy, and on Sunday nights, we're going through 1 Peter. 1 Timothy, because we're looking at what God's design on the church as we go through this interim time, as we walk through these. This is the idea of what a church is to be like. And so Paul, the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is writing to this young pastor, Timothy. And so we looked at the introduction, and then last time we were here, we talked about the idea of we looked at endurance, and we looked at Paul's testimony. And today we look at something that's so important, is very vital, and that is the idea of prayer or dialoguing with God. And so could you please turn with me? And I always ask people as we look at the scripture together, as we read it openly together, in honor of God's word, if we could stand together and read 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. Spiritual leadership today is the idea of the understanding of what it means to pray. Paul says this, "I urge then, first of all, that all requests and prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleasing to God, our Father and Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. But there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men, the testimony given to its in its proper time. And for this purpose I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth. I'm not lying. And a teacher of the true faith to the Gentiles." Thank you. You may be seated, and let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for what we have been experiencing in our worship service today. We thank you, Father, for the fact that we sing how great you are, and we hear, we're so thankful that we are redeemed, and we're so thankful that we can come here. We have the freedom to come here and to be here. And so now, Father, as we look at this passage of Scripture, so vital to us, our link to you, we pray that everything we say and do would be in keeping with your will and your wishes. Father, I pray now for the power of your Holy Spirit. And as we leave here in the next few moments, my prayer, my hope is that we'd be forever changed. We'd be closer to you because of our time together today. In Christ's name, amen. Last week was Father's Day, all right? And, you know, I have four kids, 30, 28, and then 21 and 19. And I know my children very well, and they know me well. And so I got various gifts, but I got this shirt, okay? And the shirt says, "Pastor," okay? You can't see it. "Warning, anything you say or do could be used in a sermon," okay? They know me very well, and so, of course, I'm going to do that. We were sitting there enjoying Father's Day, and I'm really thankful. Father's Day, you know, it used to be, you know, Christmas and Easter are the top on the church calendar. Mother's Day is right after that. Father's Day is like low on the totem pole. And so this past year, for whatever reason, Father's Day is starting to make its way up. Okay, thank you. But when it comes to this understanding of prayer, it reminds me of my sons when they were small. We had the bunk beds. Okay, we got nice bunk beds, and of course, two little kids, sons and the father, we wrestle, and we were wrestling on the bunk beds, and sure enough, it wasn't too long after we were wrestling on the bunk beds that we heard a little crack, and let's hide because mom heard the crack, and you know, this kind of thing. Well, this one time, the crack was okay, but not too long after that, the two of them were wrestling, and it was a big crack, and I heard it, and it was right before it was bedtime, and they could tell I was more than irritated. I was angry. And Andy, the middle son at the time, he's the youngest at the time, he says, well, I think it's time to go to sleep. Maybe we should pray. And the prayer went something like this. Now I lay me down to sleep. Dad's so mad, I begin to weep. When it comes to prayer, isn't it? It's true. When life is good, we got it all under control. When life is bad, we look to God. When I was at Southwestern Seminary, Hebrew professor Ralph Smith, he kind of talked like Tennessee tuxedos, kind of talked like this, you know. And when he handed out the exams, he could tell, you know. He said, some of you have studied and some of you are praying right now. And you know what? Some of that's not going to help you. Then he would go on from there. But the fact is, when it comes to just, it's just a natural thing. When life is good, we're feeling good. We kind of walk light and step and everything is great. When life is bad and we have a hardship and things are not going well, we drop to the knees, don't we? We get on our faces, we cry to God for help. And you know, that's really not what prayer is about. Prayer is that because we are crying for help, but prayer is the idea of talking to God, or God talking to us and us listening to what God has to say. Now, a word about prayers. Prayer is not about ritual and formula. It's not saying big spiritual words to God so I can receive something, or it's not like I'm the favorite in the family of God so I get a bigger portion if I say the right words. It's about a relationship of knowing and loving and following God our Father, Jesus our Lord, by the power and the wisdom of His Holy Spirit. Prayer is simply an intimate conversation with a holy God. It takes time and energy. Praying is hard work. It's something that, unfortunately, we take for granted. It's personal and public. It's personal in the sense that it involves confession and petition and these big words, intercession and adoration and praise. The idea that we enter into an intimate conversation with a holy God, but prayer is not bargaining with God about a certain thing. It's an intimate conversation. Therefore, prayer is surrendering to the will of God. It is that time when I unpack all of my stuff and I listen to what God has to say and what I am to do. Prayer that honors God is passionate, it's powerful, it's practical. In James, we see that prayer, an effective prayer, fervent prayer is effective. When we pray, we must see our circumstances in the light of God's Word. When we pray, we must pray expectantly. When we pray, we must pray with humble hearts. When we pray, we must ask forgiveness of sin. When we pray, we must always consider the will of God. Not that I can have the next toy, but that I am following the will of God. When we pray, our relationship with God becomes more real and personal. When we pray, we experience an ever deepening holiness and life transforming discipleship. When we pray, the ability to hear God's voice becomes more evident. When we pray, we will experience a far greater power to withstand trials, temptations, and spiritual attacks. And lastly, when we pray, we will have a greater sensitivity to the lostness of our world. That's up on the personal side. And public, it's the idea of a sense of need, intercession, and thanksgiving. Prayers don't inform God, you know, like we're doing God a favor. We have the experience of knowing Him and hearing Him and understanding Him. We understand and know ourselves that He knows what we already need because He's our Heavenly Father. And so there's this discipline of personal prayer. The idea that we must stop informing God and stop and listen. Therefore, prayer is the process of knowing and experiencing. Sometimes, you know, we pray as we drive. Sometimes we have busy lives. We pray as we drive, or we pray as we walk, and we pray as we... And sometimes we just need to shut the door and pray. The secret to prayer in prayer is secret. Jesus said, go into your closet. You don't shut the door and fake it, right? For public prayer is the overflow of our Christian lives. Now, God wants us to be honest with Him, to ask Him, to be open with Him. But sometimes we kind of pray, you know, we kind of do this little dance with God, like when my daughter wants something and she's buttering me up. Parents, you right? Grandparents, parents, goes something like this. Oh, Dad, you're such a great dad. I thank you for being my dad. What an awesome dad that takes me places. Oh, I'm so lucky to have a dad like you. Thank you, Dad, for being my dad. And I'm so glad you're with me, Dad. And you want to say, what do you want? What do you really want? God knows us. The Father knows before you ask, and so prayer is exercising your faith before Him. Prayer is real, it's simple, it's worshipful. And today, Paul talks to Timothy, and he mentions three things about prayer. Isn't it interesting? In the instruction, he gives the introduction, and then he talks about the urgency of being in Ephesus. Remember, Ephesus, this crazy place with the temple of Aphrodite, all of the stuff. Or the Orlando, Melbourne, Daytona area is number 8 on George Barner's list of unchurched cities in America. And so the area of Orlando, Central Florida, is fast becoming an Ephesus. And so we need to be prepared for that. And so Paul tells Timothy three things about the idea of praying. First, we must pray for all people, especially those in power. Pray for everyone, especially those in power. Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving thanks for thanksgiving be made for all men, for kings, and all in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. All people. We are to pray for all people. We are to pray for everyone. We're not to pray for just the people that we like or just the people that we love or the people that we, we need to pray for this guy. You know, there was a pastor friend of mine that did not like the director of missions in the area. And that's me, for those who don't. They changed my title. But this guy was a pastor of a large church, and he would say, his name was Doyle. And he would say, we need to pray for Doyle because he's sick. There's nothing wrong with Doyle. But sometimes it's easy to pray for some people, more difficult to pray for others. But we need to pray for all people, kings. And here the context is the emperor of Rome, Nero. And this is the one who put Paul and Peter to death. So we're to pray for kings and all other authority, various forms and levels of government. The idea here is not all kings are godly. Pray for them anyway. Pray for them in that way we can live a quiet and peaceful life. Now, supplications, some of your translations may say requests or supplications. It's a desire or need, a deep desire. All prayers begin with a sense of need. And then prayers, it's sense of a dialogue with God. Again, it's both public and private prayers. Intercessions is praying on behalf. It also means the boldness to access God's presence. As children of God, we have the presence. We can enter into the access and presence of God. That's what prayer is. And then giving thanks. Giving thanks, this is strengthens the believer. We pray for wisdom so we can have order and discipline, not anarchy, not just an easy life, but for peace among people and a godly life. Peaceful here means restfulness, not marred or unmarred by disturbance. It's a tranquility from within. Now, the fact is we live in a very contentious or stress-filled world. And we're filled with this brokenness. And everybody seems to have, everybody's connected. If you think that you're stress-free or something, you're fooling yourself. Because the degrees of separation are very short. And everybody deals with something. And so we have this. And along with that, if we don't take care of it, it turns to bitterness. And so Paul is saying here that we are to pray for people that hurt us, or whatever the issues are, we are to pray for them and delete those bitter feelings out of our lives. So we are to pray for all people. Pray for all people, especially those in power. Secondly, pray for people to be saved. In the next few verses, he says, he desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself to be a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Now, this issue of desire for all men to be saved, they're to be saved, to come to the knowledge of the truth. The truth is there is one God, one mediator between God and men, and that's Christ. There aren't these many ways of heaven. There's one way to heaven. And the purpose for Christ was a ransom. A ransom is a payment. That desire, this is not a command, but God's will is that all people be saved. But the reality is that even though God wants everybody to be saved, not all people will be saved. Verse 5, salvation is available to all. It's inclusive. Salvation is inclusive for all people. It's not exclusive to a few. But he gave himself a ransom, which is a payment for a price to free slaves from bondage. Christ set us free. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that wonderful? That we have a sense of freedom in Christ. Now, we have to be careful because there's this heresy of universalism that says that all people will get to heaven no matter what I believe, no matter what I say, no matter what I do, whether I believe in Buddha, whether I believe in Confucius, whatever I believe, one day, somehow, some way, I will get to heaven. And that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that we come to the place when we claim Christ. John 1:12 says, when we claim the name Christ, that gives us the right to be called the children of God. The truth is, salvation is available to all. So we are to pray for all people, especially those in power. We are to pray for people to be saved. And then third, we are to pray for the purpose of the preacher, which here Paul is saying, for which I was appointed a preacher and apostle. I'm speaking the truth in Christ, not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. Now, this word appointed literally means be placed in set. The term was used for a messenger vested with public authority who conveyed the message of kings and magistrates, princes and military commanders, gave a public summons or a demand, performed various other duties. And at the time, in the New Testament, it signifies God's ambassadors and the herald or proclaimer of the divine word. So the preacher is the one who makes a public proclamation for the King of Kings. He is not to air his own opinions or debate other people's ideas, but simply proclaim the word of God. Now, I don't know about you, but have you noticed that the airwaves are filled with bad theology and bad preaching? And the idea is, because if we want to hear whatever you want, you can hear whatever you want, because it's popularity and how the world looks on us. And it's insane to hear some of the stuff that you hear. But Christ is to be preached and proclaimed. I'm not here today to give my opinions on or be a political pundit. I'm here to preach Christ. And when Paul says, I am telling the truth, I am not lying, it implies that some of the people at Ephesus and the church there were challenging his apostolic authority. That's the same thing that happened in Corinth. His apostleship here probably means Christ's authoritative representative as a leader of the church. He says, a teacher of the true faith to the Gentiles. This was a special assignment from the Lord. Though he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, he brought up a strict Pharisee. He had been born in Tarsus, one of the three main centers of Greek learning, and was therefore suited to the assignment. The Christian leaders at Jerusalem agreed he should evangelize the Gentiles. So, we're to pray for all people. We're to pray for, especially those in authority, we're to pray for those for all people to be saved, and we're to pray for those in spiritual or Christian leadership. I'm glad Vaughn, as we walk through this interim time, Vaughn announced we need to be praying for the next person that will be the permanent pastor here. And so you need to be praying for the next leader. When it comes to prayer, though, Max Lucado said this, several things about prayer. Prayer reminds us who is in charge. God outranks us, and so does his purpose. The second thing is prayer allows God to complete the request according to his will, not ours. I don't know if you go through this, but we pray for things and then we get mad because God doesn't answer our prayers. And so many times I've said this to young Christians, even, I'm mad at God because I've been praying, but he hasn't answered my prayer. Well, I said, you're just mad because you asked for chocolate pudding at dinner and you didn't get any. You know, right? Who, chocolate pudding? But the fact is, we pray not in our will, but we pray in God's will. We pray for God's design, not ours. And so it allows for God to do the work according to what he wants. And then three, prayer relieves the stress of perceived inactivity. You have asked God for this task. You give it over. And don't worry about it. You can pray for it every day. In fact, I was listening to somebody challenge the church to pray, find a whatever that is, whatever you are praying for. Find one thing that you specifically want. Maybe it's a healing for somebody. Maybe somebody has cancer. Whatever it is, pray for 40 days. 40 days straight and see what happens. Now, 10 things that make prayer effective. First, praying by asking, seeking, and knocking. So continue to pray. Pray in faith. Pray in secret. Pray according to God's will. Pray in Jesus' name. Pray in agreement with other believers. Pray while fasting. Pray from an obedient life. Obedience, being a disciple of Christ. Pray while abiding in Christ and his word. And then 10, pray while delighting in the Lord. Prayer is the soul of our worship experience because it's the place where we meet God in an intimate way. Prayer is the vital lifeline to the power of God. If you are a believer in Christ and you feel powerless, the fact is, when I get on my face, you know, I don't pray enough. But I love when I can just have the silence and it's just me and God. And some people may sit down, some people may get on their knees. I love to just spread out and get on my face and nobody is around. And when I have this intimate conversation with God, who already knows me, but it's the idea that it's a relationship between the believer and an almighty, holy God. And sometimes I gripe, and sometimes I complain, and sometimes I'm just so thankful. The foundation of a powerful prayer life, first, you must view your daily prayer time as a relationship with God and not a legalistic duty or discipline. I'm one of those, I like to check things off, and I write lists and I lose the list and all that kind of stuff, right? Everybody does that, right? But it's not a duty, it's a relationship. Secondly, you must make an absolute commitment to consistently spend significant time alone with God in uninterrupted prayer. Persistent prayer does three things. It reminds us of our weakness. Apart from God's grace, we are inactive. Secondly, it reminds us to look to God as our Father. And third, it disciplines us and humbles us to receive the Father and his gracious provision so we might live as kingdom citizens. Persistent prayer is prayer that honors God as both personal and public. It's personal. Prayer is a holy must. We pray. We pray because we want to. Prayer is simply, again, talking to God and God talking back to us and us listening. We pray because we need to change. We need to grow. We pray on behalf of others. We pray for guidance and strength. We pray for answers. We pray simply to thank God for who he is. We pray to lift up and to praise him, so there must be a lifestyle of prayer. It's all in the heart. The Christian who says his prayers to men will not get his answers from God. Secondly, Satan hates specific biblical prayer. So go for it. Go through it. The first line of defense of our spiritual lives is prayer, because we get too busy and it gets put on the back burner, right? We get too involved that we leave God outside of our personal lives. Personal. Then how is prayer public? Public is a sense of worship. When we come here, we are worshiping. We are praying. Worship is when we fall down before a holy God. Worship is experience. It's emotion. It's action. It's personal and it's public. We pray. Paul says, it's very interesting that Paul, as he gives Timothy all these instructions, remember, he gives the introduction to the letter. Then he talks about the urgency. I left you in Ephesus. This is why you're here. And then the idea of instructions of the personal testimony of Paul and why we are to reach other people for Christ. And now as we look to prayer, we are to pray for all people, especially those in power. We are to pray for people to be saved, to come out of the culture and be changed, have their lives spiritually changed. And then pray for the purpose and mission of the preacher. Prayer. So much to say about prayer. I want to close. Our lives, I don't know about your life. My life is extremely, it's always been this way, extremely busy. And extremely fast. And if it's not one thing, it's another. And when you have family, if it's not one kid, it's another. And it doesn't matter how old they get, you never stop being a parent. Right. And if you're a grandparent, you never stop being a grandparent. And so I got my car back. I finally got my car back. Yes. Thank you. And that was an ordeal. Everything's been an ordeal. Nothing just happens. It's an ordeal, everything. A lot of drama in our world, right? And so last week we had birthdays and doctor visits and paperwork for the doctor visits and Father's Day and car stuff. And setting up appointments for I have a special needs son. And so more doctor stuff and more setting up appointments. I was at the doctor for my son Daniel 3 times this past week, looking for forms and picking up forms and getting forms and taking care of stuff. And in all of this stuff, we come to birthdays and Father's Day and this day and that day. And guess what? Out of frustration, my wife and I had an argument, okay? and it was like, what's your problem? It's like, what is wrong? Well, let's go back over here, okay? Birthdays and this day and appointments and car problems and all this stuff, it just kind of adds up. And you know the drill. It just adds up and adds up and adds up and adds up. And what we discovered was that we had not had really 2 words together in about 2 weeks, just to sit down and have an uninterrupted conversation. We like to watch Hawaii 5-0. Hawaii 5-0. I mean, it's Hawaii 5-0. Do you know the Asian actor or whatever? She was in front of me at a vitamin shop, and I couldn't. I'm sitting there going like, I know this person from somewhere. I know, and I couldn't believe it. It's like, and it was her. Anyway. And usually we just like to sit down and watch Hawaii 5-0. But for some crazy reason, my daughter wanted to come in and interrupt and talk during Hawaii 5-0. And so we didn't get it, you know, it was like, you know, you're carrying 4 conversations on at the same time and all this other stuff. All that to say, Saturday afternoon, we got my daughter to watch Daniel, and we went to Roadhouse, and we just yakked at Roadhouse, okay? We just yakked. Well, let me tell you, that's one family in the vast world that we live in. Take it a step further. How do you think it is with our relationship with God? Okay? God knows we're His children. And we know there's a relationship there, right? But if you never spend time with God, our Heavenly Father, how do you expect to have be in a right relationship? And then you get mad. The reality is, we assume we get mad because God doesn't answer our press. Our prayers, our requests, our thing. He doesn't answer those things. And it's like, it's like, come on. You don't spend just a few minutes with me. You couldn't spend just a few minutes with me. Though you're asking for all these silly things. And I've given my son as a ransom. All I want is just a few minutes. And that's really what we're talking about. Time alone with the Holy God and the relationship that I have. Paul says to Timothy, pray. You pray for everybody, but especially those who are in authority, those that are kings, those that have influence. Pray that they make the right decisions. And then you pray for people that they'll be changed. Because remember, they're coming out of this culture in Ephesus. And then third, you know what? Pray for me. Pray for spiritual leadership. And I'll be praying for you, as Paul says to Timothy. And so as we look at, in just a moment, we're gonna pray. But think about the relationship that you have with the Holy God. And the reality is that what is the time that we spend? Because all of us are busy. All of us have these things. All of us have something that we deal with. And unfortunately, the first thing that goes is that vital time with our Heavenly Father. Now maybe you're not a believer in Christ. You've just come here and you just kind of you're doing the ritual thing and you say your little thing, you sing the song and you leave. But if you haven't accepted Jesus, we're going to invite you to do that in just a moment. We're going to ask you to just step out of your seat, come forward. If you feel awkward, just, you know, wave one of us and we'll come to you. Maybe you need to just come here and pray here at the altar. Maybe you want to get a new start. Maybe you want to join this church. Whatever it is don't leave here without doing business with our Heavenly Father. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. Sometimes saying thank you is just so trite. And sometimes, Father, it's the idea of gratitude for who you are in our lives. And to know that we have a power source, and to know that even though we may not get what we personally want, we know that you are our Heavenly Father. You have our best interest at heart. And you know, you've got the design. It's your will. So we pray, Father. We do pray in several people's lives. We pray for healing. We pray for strength. We pray for that you would just take the disease away, whatever it is. Father, maybe it's a job, or maybe it's a house, or maybe it's just a relationship. And Father, we do pray that you would make those things right. And Father, we do pray there's somebody here that has never accepted you. May they come to you today. Maybe they just get a new start, or just come and pray. Just get that newness started again. They just need time to talk to you and you alone. And Father, whatever it is, we do pray that somebody would do business with you today because of our worship experience. In Jesus' name, amen.